Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Tomb S podcast video edition. Before we begin, I would like to do a really brief land acknowledgement. You may not be watching this from UBC, but this is recorded on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam people. Very important to always do a land acknowledgement, just to be mindful before we enter these conversations about topics related to the land, and to be very honoring to that. So, yeah. Today we are talking about student senators of UBC Vancouver. Kind of, what is Senate, who are your student senators, and what do they actually do? So my name is Romina Hajizadeh, my pronouns are she and her, and I'm excited to be hosting and also giving some of my perspectives as a student senator as well.
My name is Tanisha Kadia, and my pronouns are also she and her, and I'm the Student Alumni Council host for this podcast.
Hi, my name is Emmanuel. I go by he, him, his pronouns, and I am the art student senator. I sit on the Academic Appeals on Discipline Committee. I sit on the Academic Standing Appeals Committee, and I sit on the Teaching and Learning Committee.
Hi, I'm Leah Schbeller. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm also a student senator, specifically for the Faculty of Applied Science. Within the Senate, I co-chair the Student Senate Caucus with Romina, and then beyond that, I chair the Senate Committee on Academic Building Needs, as well as sit on both our Nominating Committee and our Tributes Committee.
So yeah, thank you all for introducing yourselves. So let's just jump into it. Can you explain what Senate actually is? Like, what is it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of people aren't quite sure about it. The Senate is UBC's largest academic governing body. So we're made up of about 90 members, a mixture of a few staff-appointed positions, mostly faculty, students, as well as alumni who sit in those convocation senator roles. And throughout that, we're pretty committee-based. So there's 13 standing committees, as well as the Council of Senate, the Budget Committee, which works with UBC Okanagan. So a lot of the actual bulk of the work within Senate occurs within those different committees, which all focus on different topics, and then come to the large Senate once a month to pass motions and discuss them in more detail.
What does Senate do?
Yeah, I can jump in and answer that question. So it adjudicates and it relates to every single academic matter related to the university. So not including tuition, not including stuff like food security, but stuff like admissions or appeals, academic policy, teaching and learning, research and scholarship, and so on and so forth. So every academic matter in the university, the Senate adjudicates at the highest level, as Leah has mentioned.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for getting into that. So can you talk a little bit about the committees that you're on and the work that you do in those committees to kind of give a little bit more insight as to like, okay, what's the nitty gritty of like actually work that's being done?
Sure, I can go first. So I'm part of both the appeals committees. So it is the appeals on academic standing and appeals on academic discipline. And I also sit on teaching and learning committee. So there are quite a few differences between the appeals and the teaching and learning committee. I guess I can jump in on the appeals committee first. So we don't really have scheduled meetings. Other committees do. What we have are hearings. So quick, I guess, background on how the appeals committees work is that if a student has appealed a matter, whether or not, for example, an academic standing matter in where they failed a class, but they want to appeal it on the grounds that the procedures in which they were evaluated in were done incorrectly or were wrong in any sort of sense, they have the right to appeal that. And so we review the documents and the procedures of whether or not the faculty follow the right procedures or not. As for academic discipline, it's on more serious matters such as cheating and academic misconduct and violating academic integrity. And the same procedures kind of apply in where we would try to evaluate and determine whether or not those procedures were followed. And I guess for teaching and learning, it's more of a discussion-based forum. Like there are discussion items such as policies, for example. There could also be trying to propose motions that would go into the monthly Senate meetings. And I know the Senate Teaching and Learning Committee recently finished its big project on reforming the student evaluation of instruction surveys. So that's among the scope of what the committees I'm in do.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Leah, what about you?
Yeah, so as mentioned, I do chair the Academic Building Needs Committee, which is a really neat experience. And as we've spoken about, a lot of what the Senate does falls within academia. So the whole notion of academic buildings is a little bit of an odd one within the Senate. It doesn't quite fit the way the others do, but we get to really dig into what academic needs exist within the infrastructure of our university and work closely with other bodies outside the Senate to understand what those are and advocate for changes. So I think, you know, with something like COVID and shifting to online school and hybrid ways of teaching, it's been a really big discussion of how do the places we learn in and the places we teach in need to shift in order to accommodate that and encourage student learning and research and those other things in a different light. So that's been one of the really big things we've been focusing on. Additionally, we get to be involved in discussions such as the Campus Vision 2050 process that's currently occurring and get to speak to the team about how does this affect academic infrastructure and what changes do we as a university need to be prepared to make and as a Senate on policy be prepared to advocate for. So that's a lot of what happens in that committee. Okay, so the second committee I'm on is the Tributes Committee, and this is usually a pretty standard committee on the Senate. We work on ensuring that we provide professors or people who are retiring with emeritus status at the university, as well as work on honorary degrees for the university. So traditionally, we give a set of honorary degrees away to different members of the community or, you know, members of the global community each year. However, this past year, we actually got to look at it in a very different light, and that was focused on the case of or John Fergus O'Grady. So that was a very unique year in the case, but most years, such as this year, we work on scoping who could be a candidate for this, working with the community to collect those, and then analyzing the applicants and going forward with that. And then the last committee I sit on is Nominating Committee, and that's a committee that really works to ensure that the Senate as a whole functions and that we have enough people sitting on our different committees, our different subcommittees, different search committees that the university has, etc. So we collect applications, ensure that all the committees are filled in their different capacities, determine who from the Senate gets to sit on different search committees that are university-wide, as well as one of the projects we're currently working on is actually the triennial review for the UBC Senate. So we're working on an internal review of what the Senate looks like, what changes we might want to make as we come up to the end of our triennium in just a few months. So the Nominating Committee is assisting with setting all of that up. So I think the questions for it just got approved the other day and we'll be going out to the full Senate.
And that makes me think, like, when you bring up triennial, like, Senate and Board of Governors both, they operate quite differently from, like, the Alma Mater Society, the AMS, or constituency politics, right? A lot of people think that they're the same thing, but the triennium system is one of the differences. What other differences are there? And so, by the way, triennium means that the Senate works in, like, three-year systems. So, basically, students have one-year terms when they're elected, but faculty who are elected have three-year terms on the Board of Governors and on Senate, which is also kind of controversial. There's a lot of things we can get into it, but what makes it different? Like, what is unique about the Senate?
I mean, firstly, it's not a student government. It's a university governance body. So it's completely different in the way that that functions. Students are a minority of the group, actually quite a large minority of the group within it. And we work with faculty and staff and the university to change university policies from that perspective rather than advocating for change of university policies from a student perspective, if that makes sense. And then, yeah, I'd say the other really big thing is that it's really a unique situation for the students because we are on one-year terms. We've both been on for 2 years, and often people do rerun and do 2 or 3 years, but we are sort of in and out in a pretty mm-hmm. fast pace, whereas faculty and others are on it on a triennial basis. So they have 3 years to sort of set a goal and work towards it. And for that reason, there is a larger learning curve to being on a body such as the Senate because everyone else is there for a longer period of time. There isn't that transition period that's sort of set out for people the way it is, I think, in other bodies. So that mm-hmm. is a unique challenge to it. And I think it's something that, I mean, all of us are cognizant of and working on finding a way to overcome and allow student senators to sort of get in there and make a bigger difference right from the start. But it's also where, you know, having people be on it for multiple years is really, really helpful to sort of pass that knowledge along and remove that little transition period.
Yeah. And just adding on what Talia said, just to reiterate, like, we have 1 year terms, but everyone else has 3 year terms with faculty convocation and so on. And so that does elevate a lot of difficulties in terms of the learning curve. But I would also add that I would say the dynamics of the Senate is different from student organizations like the AMS and constituencies, mostly part in due to add to kind of reiterate again that the students are a minority in this situation. So in terms of the dynamics, we have to stay together as a united collective, as a united group, to kind of present the student perspective in front of faculty senators, in front of the administration, in front of the convocation senators, to make sure that this is the position of the students and this is the position that should be elevated on behalf of the students. So in terms of our dynamics, like I would say that student senators are very strongly united in promoting student interests together. And so we are a united front. And I think another thing to add is that, I don't think if there's anything more
I think I think it's really unique, and it's exactly what you spoke about. Mm-hmm. In a lot of constituencies or student groups, you know, not that students are arguing with one another, but it's mm-hmm. about convincing other students and sort of like going in different ways. And the Student Senate Caucus, which is the group of all the students, is the only place I've been on campus where students are just there to work together. Mm-hmm. Like, we are all there to support each other, and if one faculty is having troubles, everyone who has experience in that jumps in to support. And I mean, in no way is it a voting block that we all vote in the same way according to what people want, but we support each other in getting through different situations that our specific faculties may be experiencing. And not everyone is a faculty senator. Some people are student senators at large. Yeah. But I really think it's a really unique, very collaborative space. And that is one of the reasons I've really loved it and moved away from working in a constituency towards working in the Senate, is I just feel like the collaboration and the openness to share and help one another is beyond what I've found in other spaces.
I guess like one last thing to add is what I found really interesting. I lost it originally, but it came back. Is that it's? I guess the most unique thing is that on the daily during Senate meetings, I do want to be a bit careful, but like there are often times in where the student perspective clashes with the administration perspective, yes. And the Senate allows for the opportunity for students to upright talk to the speak against or speak with the administration during Senate about why we oppose their views, and likewise why some faculty senators and why the administration opposes our views. So it allows for direct contact, confrontation, and communication among these different groups on campus about what their positions are, what their interests are in this Senate space.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for you both for speaking to that. So our next question is, what can students know about Senate, and what are some of Senate's governance and policies that each student should know?
That's a good question, and I think I can go first. First and foremost, with appeals, really important to know is that you have rights, in the sense that if you ever feel that the grade that you've gotten, or when you are accused of plagiarism and you feel that the processes that were used to determine the outcome of those events were unjust and not procedurally fair, you have the right to make an appeal. So the appeals committees that I do sit on are kind of like the final Supreme Court of Justice, kind of, but we're not a legal body. We're not a court of law,
Supreme
right?
Court of UBC.
I guess so. The final line of defense in the appeals committees are just like a hearing space in where you have the chance to kind of show or prove of procedural misconduct from the faculty side, and that you are innocent from or that you were unjustly treated from failing in a said course, or you didn't actually cheat in that course, even though the faculty claimed that you did. Mm-hmm. And these are really important things to know. You always have the right to kind of push back. And of course, right, academic integrity is important, and this applies to sometimes stuff like this happens in the university. Sometimes the university makes a mistake, even though they would not like to promote that idea, but appeals committees are there to kind of remediate those types of issues that happen. I would also say that knowing specific policies are important, especially from what happened last semester with the final exams and them being canceled due to the weather. We have a weather policy. I'm unsure if it falls specifically under the Senate, but I remember in Teaching and Learning Committee, we did talk about it briefly. But for example, there is one that's pertinent to students, which is policy J102, which is the examination hardship policy, mm-hmm. in where if you have three final exams back to back to back in the span of 24 hours, you can defer that and extend your the time that you take those final exams. And you know, knowing these things are really important. I feel are really important for students to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess what I would say is, I mean, I have a few policies that I look at the most, but my biggest thing is policy is so hard to understand. It truly is.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that I've been trying to figure out for 5 years here at UBC, two of them on the Senate, and sometimes you read it and go, what the heck does this mean? And I think that that's something that scares a lot of students away. UBC has, I think, pretty good and for the most part, clear policy laid out within the UBC calendar. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard, it can be really hard to interpret and really hard to trust your gut that the way you're interpreting that is how you're supposed to be and actually know how to utilize it. So what I would say, I don't fully know the audience if students are listening to this, but what I would say, like, the biggest thing for students to know is use resources such as your faculty senators or a senator at large, go for it as well. But reach out to them and ask them for help interpreting, because we do a lot of that. We do a lot of reading through the policies and ensuring that we understand them so we can make or recommending edits when they're rewriting policies and conducting policy mm-hmm. reviews. So take advantage of resources like that. I guarantee if you reach out to someone, they are going to be willing to help. And if they don't understand that policy or have a ton of experience, they'll probably reach out to the Student Senate Caucus and ask if anyone else has had experience working around that policy and helping students through it. So that would be my biggest thing is, policy is important, but it can also be big and scary, so use resources to make it less so. But on favorite policies, my favorite policy is probably LR7, which is focused on accessibility within education and on campus. So that's one where if you ever are looking for accessibility or different accommodations to ensure that you are getting an equitable education, that is a really key policy to look to.
Yeah, and there's just so much that Senate does for students that students just don't know. So where can students read about these policies and get the information about the rights they have?
I will first start by saying the Senate website is also, like Leah said, policy is very hard to navigate. Also, the Senate website is very hard to navigate. So I will just put that out there. But a lot of this information is on the UBC Senate website. We also have a student senator's blog if you want to check that out.
That's what I was going to say is we also have been working with the UBC this year where each month prior to the Senate meetings, so the Senate meetings happen Wednesday evenings once a month, the Wednesday morning, and the reason it comes out the Wednesday morning is because the agenda often comes out pretty late, but Wednesday morning each day, but you know, the Senate's always been doing a great job of getting it out early, and we appreciate it.
The registrar does such a good job. They got it out early, actually.
They got it out very early last time.
They work so hard. This is also just a really quick shout out. Sorry, stepping out of the host position really quickly to say I love the Senate registrar team. They are Senate secretariat, sorry. I love the Senate Secretariat team so much. They work so hard, and their work is very appreciated, not even just by our Student Senate Caucus, by everyone. Like,
yeah.
They keep the university running. So anyways,
they're the ones putting together the crazy agendas. But anyways, the students do publish an article each month called Senate Recentered. It'll come out the Wednesday mornings before Senate, and it basically says what the heck is happening this month, because most people don't want to go read the 150-page agenda that is sent out.
We have 400 pages this month.
We've been really blessed to have like 100-page agendas for the last few months, and then we just got dropped at 400 one. I knew this because I'm on the agenda committee. I didn't warn you guys. I'm sorry.
I haven't looked yet. But anyways, so large agendas, we go through it, we summarize what it is, and really try and pull out things that are applicable to students. Because there is a lot that's going on in the Senate that isn't necessarily like directly applicable to students. At least you don't see it. So we really take out the key things and say, if you want to know 5 things that are happening this month, these are what they are, and this is how it may affect you. Whether it's, you know, the number of admissions that are changing in med school.
In med school, we added 18 seats this year, which is really exciting. And that happened through Senate. So we got to see that on the agenda before it was actually officially approved. So, like, these are things that's really nice to just, it's digestible, it's, like, easy to access, rather than, like, this massive PDF where it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many different sections, and the jargon used is kind of sometimes not necessarily, it's like, again, it's an academia body, so there's a lot of academic jargon. So, yeah, very passionate about that collab. It's very exciting.
And then the UBC also writes an article each month after the meeting where they go into a little bit more detail about what actually passed. Because all we can write about Wednesday morning is what's coming to the Senate versus they really dig into what were the conversations that occurred around that topic and what was the outcome.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work. So, of course, if you guys are, you know, like, you're putting a lot of effort into Senate, you're putting a lot of hard work, you know, with your 400-page agendas, like, you're doing a lot for advocating for students. So what's an experience or a win that has made all of that work worth it for you?
I could name a couple, and I think I can go first. So I guess in terms of what Leah and I have been involved in our most recent victories, a lot of them happened during the COVID era. So one thing was a huge victory that it was extending the drop deadline. Other ones included stuff like ensuring that UBC adhere to a firmer vaccine mandate than the originally soft vaccine mandate. That was a big debate that occurred between students and the administration that lasted for a very long time last year. But also, there were a lot of things that our predecessors have done. The most relevant one is the passing of the fall reading break. Like before 2021, this was not a thing, and so this change is huge, and it really affects all UBC students and future UBC students to come. The more inspiring and the more relevant one that I can consider a victory was before my time. It was my predecessor's plan. Her name is Charlotte Gilby, and she was the art student senator at the time, and she worked toward and actually was successful in implementing arts majors on arts diplomas. So before 2020, when art students graduate from UBC, they just had Faculty of Arts, no indication of their major. And I was in the AUS at the time, and I remember I did assist with her in terms of consultation, right? Getting signatures to add legitimacy to that proposal. And she was successful in accomplishing that. So if an art student had a degree in geography, then it would say that in their diploma. Political science on their diploma, sociology on their diploma. And working with her was actually what inspired me to become and to run for and get elected for the art student senator after her. So that was just a fun and a really good tidbit of it. There's a lot of things that student senators work toward, but I guess an important thing to note is that the Senate moves at a very glacial pace. So change is difficult, but change is possible. And it's important to note that.
Yeah, I will say, I think, and not that ambitious goals are not achievable, but it, you know, getting into this body, you do learn that, again, it's triennium. Like, it moves on a sort of a 3-year schedule, and we, as students, often jump in and expecting it to move on a 1-year schedule. But another thing that Emmanuel didn't mention that also came before we both started was, actually, I think the meeting before we both started, was getting rid of proctored examinations. So the use of tools such as Proctorio, which had a lot of different issues that I won't jump into in this, but things like that genuinely make the student experience so much easier. And being known, or knowing that students and student centers specifically were what led to that change is really exciting to see and sort of inspiring when you want to join a body like this. Personally, I'd say some of the things that I've really found the most exciting out of my years is, firstly, being the Applied Science Student Senator, I do have a little bit of a unique situation in terms of we have a few different groups within us. So we have nursing, we have architecture, we have community and campus or community planning, and we have engineering. And engineering is a much bigger group. I am from engineering as well, so I sort of have that experience. But being able to, one of the goals I had in this position is really to get to, as a senator, work more with our smaller programs and our smaller departments and have their voices heard as well as create some sort of community within applied science between engineering students and nursing students and planning students, et cetera. So that's been a really big win that we are still in progress working towards, but I think a really nice thing to see being in this role. And then I think the most fun I've had is definitely I'm lucky enough to be sort of the Senate's representative on Campus Vision 2050. So I get to be a part of that planning process in a variety of different ways. And getting to be part of that and have my voice heard and my voice heard as an advocate for applied science students, for all all UBC students, and then for the entire Senate has been a really, really cool and unique experience. I think I've learned a lot about myself, and I think I've also made some impact on actual Campus Vision 2050 in terms of the wording we use and the priorities we have as a campus, and keeping it student-centered and academia-centered, because that is what we are as a university.
That's awesome, you guys. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for being here in general. Like, yeah, it's really nice to just put a name to a face and like have students actually see like what is the Senate, who are our student senators, and what is the work that's being done. And you guys are just such a wonderful caucus. I love working with you. And everything's been, this has just been a wonderful, wonderful episode. I don't know.
Yeah, and this was very insightful for me, because I, you know, working with Romina and the Student Alumni Council, I was like, you know, she said, oh, I'm on Senate, and like we were having a couple conversations about it. I'm like, but what does it do? Like, I want to know. And then she was like, oh, Emmanuel's on like the appeals committee. And like, oh, like the more I started to learn about Senate, I was like, students need to know about this. Like, students need to know, because so many students just don't know their rights. So,
and it directly impacts them.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you both so much for coming on here and discussing your experiences. I had a lovely time chatting with you and getting to know more about what you do.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
See you later.
See you.
Bye.